chosen into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now I want you to notice what he says in verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. He says, because freely ye have received, freely give. Freely ye have received, freely give. Now I want you to turn, if you would, to Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. And I want you to look, if you would, in verse 35. Paul now is about to leave the believers of Ephesus for the last time. They'd see his face no more, the scripture says. And he's about to leave, and he gathered them. He gathers those group of believers, the elders there, I should say, together. In verse 35, and Paul says, I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now those were some of the last words that he left with the elders and with the believers of Ephesus, and they would not see him again. The last words they heard from the Apostle Paul's mouth was, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now I want to take those verses tonight, and I've chosen for our topic here, and I believe God's chosen for our topic, the glory of giving. Now, Father, we're grateful to be a part of this service tonight. We have no idea, Lord, whether this might be the last service that we'll ever attend before we meet you in glory. If that be the case, then, Lord, we want to go out tonight. We want to leave this place tonight encouraged. We want to leave this place tonight excited. We want to leave this place tonight, Lord, and take what you will have for us tonight and apply it to our lives for your honor and for your glory. We understand it's all about you, Lord. This whole thing, it's not about us. Lord, you put us here. We're instruments. We're nothing more than servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to do our best, and we'll give you the glory for what shall be accomplished tonight in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. A few days ago, I knocked a door. Man came to the door. It was quite evident that he was not from here. And they began to talk to me, invited me in, and sat down and found out that he was born and raised in India. He was raised in Hinduism all of his life. He told me, he said, preacher, he said, but I'm not a Hindu anymore. He said, I'm a Christian. And I said, well, tell me a little bit about it. And he says, well, let me tell you what turned me to Christianity. He said, I observed Christians, and he said, I actually have read the Bible. And he says, it seems to me that the thing that separates Christianity from all the other religions, including the one I was raised in, he said, it seems that Christianity is more about giving than receiving. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know what, he's right. He's right. And I don't know if God used that little spark or that little meeting tonight to give me what He would have us to have tonight, but I begin to think about that this afternoon, what that man said. He said, I literally left Hinduism, turned to Jesus Christ, he says, because it just seems that Christianity is more about giving than receiving. And he says, I think that's what we ought to be. We ought to do more giving than we do receiving. You see, a lot of us do a lot of this, don't we? We receive a lot. Sometimes we don't give as much as we should. Now, I entitled the message tonight, The Glory of Giving, simply because the word glory simply means to exalt with joy. There ought to be a joy about giving or transferring something from one person to another. Listen, that's the reason the Scripture talks about when we give, we're not to give grudgingly. We're to give happily. We're to give cheerfully. Why? Because there's glory. There's excitement in giving more than there is in receiving. Now, one of the most unnatural things for most of us to do is to give. it doesn't come natural for us, and yet taking and receiving seems to come more natural, yet giving is one of the foundational stones of the Christian life. You see, giving's what separates Christians from unbelievers. And may I say also that sincere and sacrificial believers also are separated by their giving. It's what separates people, the mature believer, from the immature believer. Now, usually we can kind of gauge our level of growth based on our giving. But our giving does not just reflect growth. Our giving also reflects our faith. Faith in what, preacher? You see, the scripture is very plain that faith without works is dead. You see, the thing about it is our giving, our laboring for the Lord, also not only does it reflect our growth, but it also reflects our faith. Do we believe God? You know how we can tell whether we truly have faith in God? Look at yourself in the mirror and find out how much are you giving. And listen, folks, I'm not talking monetarily. I'm not talking about cash. I'm talking about how much of you are you giving. That's how we find out where we are. Do we believe God? And yet, isn't it amazing that the Scripture says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him? And yet, here we are, and the Scripture is very plain that the just shall live by faith. You know how one of the ways we can show that? By our giving. So not only does giving reflect growth, giving reflects faith. May I say also, it reflects love. You know, I can tell my wife all day long that I love her. But you know, one of the best ways to solidify that love is to give. For instance, she went to be with her mother this week, who had major surgery. She'll be there with her for about another week. Now, I realize my wife does not work outside the home, and so I realize that if my wife was going to have any ability to be able to eat, to be able to put gas in the car, then I was going to have to give to her. And so before she left, I reached into the old proverbial wallet. But you know something? I had saved that money because I knew this was coming. So I opened my wallet up and I gave her that money. You know why I gave her that money? Because, first of all, I love her. And second of all, I didn't want her to go hungry. And I wanted her to have gas in the car when she got there to go back and forth. I did not want her parents or my parents to have to pay for everything. So I gave her money so she could go. You see, the thing about it is, giving reflects our faith, but it also reflects our love. But may I say, as a spinoff of what I talked to you about on Wednesday, it also reflects our heart. It reflects what's going on inside. When a person is tight-fisted in every area of their Christian life, it's because their heart's tight-fisted. If they don't want to give, it's because they have become a taker rather than a giver. And it's a reflection of the heart. Now, some may be able to give for a short time in order to kind of hide the condition of their heart, but you listen to me, eventually your heart will prevail. It will prevail over you. You see, God not only taught giving, He was our leading example. I don't know if you listened to the song that was sung a while ago. You see, as she sung, did you notice He didn't just give? The song says, He giveth, and He giveth, and He giveth, and He giveth. The problem is, He don't get much in return. But you know what He still does? He giveth, and He continues to give. You see, if God's going to command us and instruct us to give, you know what He's going to do? He's going to give. If He's going to ask you to give the ultimate sacrifice, then guess what He's going to do? He's going to give the ultimate sacrifice. If you don't believe that, John 3:16, most common verse in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave.
He literally gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, He's not going to ask you to do something He hadn't already done Himself. You see, He's not going to ask you to give sacrificially if He doesn't give sacrificially. He's not going to ask you to give the utmost if He hadn't given the utmost. And there He gave. You know why? Because He's the example of giving. Take, if you would, your Bible and turn to John chapter 14. You're going to need your Bible tonight. We're going to look at quite a few passages of Scripture. John chapter 14 and verse 16. All right, John 14 and verse 16. So God's going to lead the way. He's going to set the example for us. And He's going to give the utmost. So you know what He does? He gives His only begotten Son so that we can be saved. I might be mistaken, but I don't think anybody in here has ever been asked to give one of your children as a sacrifice for anything. I doubt very seriously you have been asked by anybody to make that kind of sacrifice. And yet the amazing thing is nobody asked God to do it. He did it willfully. He did it out of love. He did it because He knew you and I could not purchase our own salvation. So John 14, verse 16, not only did He give His only begotten Son, not only did He give Jesus so that we could be saved, He also realized that after Jesus ascended back into heaven, sat at the right hand of God, that He didn't want to leave us alone. So you know what He does? He tells us, in John 14, verse 16, He says, "And I will pray the Father," Jesus says, "and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you," for how long? Forever. You see, He already knew the Lord was going to ascend back to heaven, sit at the right hand of God, so He didn't want us to be alone. So you know what He does? He gives us the Holy Ghost of God. You know what the Holy Spirit is? Listen, wait a minute now. He doesn't just give us the Holy Spirit just so that we can be filled with the Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit because He knew that a lot of us, including this preacher, sometimes we ain't got enough sense to get out of the rain. So the Holy Spirit teaches us and guides us in the way of all truth. Because He knew that for the most part, most of us aren't or couldn't do it ourselves. So He not only gave His Son, He gave us the Holy Ghost. Look down, if you would, in verse 27, the same chapter. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you." And look at this now. He says, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He says, not only am I going to exemplify and give my Son, not only am I going to give you a Holy Ghost of God that's going to teach you and guide you, but He says, then, because of a believer, I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to not only give you peace with God, it's going to have available, you can have the peace of God as well. You see, without Him giving, we have access to none of this. May I say to you in Psalm 37, you don't have to turn there. The Scripture says there also that those that delight in the Lord, He will give them the desires of their heart. Wait a minute now. He didn't say He's going to give me the nicest car I want. Didn't say He's going to give me the biggest home that I want. He said He would give me the things I ought to desire after. You see, because most of us, we don't desire the right things. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And keep in mind, all I'm doing now is simply saying, if God is going to command us and instruct us to give, He's going to give Himself. He gave His Son. He gave us the Holy Ghost. He gave us peace. He can give us the desires of our heart if we'll delight in Him. And then Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Jesus says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Stop. Is that your life verse? Does that seem like that ought to be just every Christian's life verse right there? Now, the thing about it, it's the wonderful thing, is what he says next. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden." And he says, here's what I'll give you. Rest. I will give you rest. You see, we're trying to find rest in all these other things. We're trying to find satisfaction in all these other things. And yet Jesus said, it's in me the whole time. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you." I will transfer it to you. Now, folks, listen. He says, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So not only is he going to give his son the ultimate sacrifice, he gave us the Holy Ghost, he gives us peace, he gives us the desires of our heart, he gives us rest. May I say to you that he also gives wisdom, according to James 1:5. He will give you wisdom. You say, where does it come from, Brother Todd? He also gave you a Bible. Man, I'm telling you, this is looking more and more like God's for us, doesn't it? This is looking more and more like God actually wants us to succeed. Why? Because he's constantly giving, he giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth again. He's constantly giving to us. Wait a minute now, not only did he give us a Bible, guess what? He gave us a church. Gave us a church. Now, folks, listen to me. Do you know the majority of the people in this auditorium right here, we didn't have anything to do with the construction of this church. I'm talking about the actual construction from ground up. Most of us didn't have anything to do with it, but you know what? There were people that did. And you know what? He used all the people of the past so that we could have today a church. And you know what? I'm happy about that. You know what? I'm excited about that. You know what? Because I didn't have anything to do with building it, but he gave us a place that we could come and worship him. May I say also to you, he gives us an opportunity to serve. He gives us a place in the church so we can serve. So why should we want to serve? Then he gives us an opportunity to earn rewards. Man, I'm telling you, this God's a giving God. This is unbelievable. He's doing everything. He's giving, and he's giving, and he's giving, and he's constantly giving to us. You know why? Because he wants us to succeed. Is there a mother or a father in here that does not want your children to succeed? Do you not want them to have the best? Do you not want them to be blessed? Do you not want them to be blessed of God in every area? Of course you do. And guess what God wants for us? He wants us the same way. He wants us to be blessed of him in every area of our life. Let me give you one other more exciting thing. Not only does he give us opportunity to serve, opportunity to earn reward. And we can't run all these references. We'll be here to midnight. And I know you don't want to stay that long. But he gives us a place in his kingdom. He's a king. And guess what? I'm going to have a place in his kingdom. Yeah, but you ain't going to have a prominent place. You know what? At this point, I could care less what the place is. I'm in it. I'm in the kingdom. He's going to give me a place when he comes back. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. I don't know what my position's going to be, but I'm going to be in it. He's giving me that. He's giving it to me. I'm just simply to say to you tonight, dear folks, that God's not going to command us or ask us to give if he doesn't do it himself. And you know what he does? He giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth constantly. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Could it be, that the church of the living God is not appealing today because we've decreased our giving out and started holding on to more? You see what made the difference in this man's life that I told him? He said, the amazing thing about it is, he says, in reading the Bible, the reason I became a Christian, he said, it just seems that Christianity is more about giving than receiving. I just wonder if the church has lost its appeal to the outside world. I wonder if we're sending mixed signals. I wonder if we're sending out to the world, and the reason that they're scoffing at the church is because, or it's not because they hate Jesus, or because It may be because we're portraying a confusing picture. You ever thought about that? The reason that the church may not listen, and we pray for revival, we pray for God to save souls, we pray for all this. Listen, we pray for all that kind of stuff. But you go out, knock a few doors, talk to a few people, you say, man, it doesn't seem like anybody wants to come to church. I wonder if the reason that it may not be appealing if we're sending mixed signals. I wonder if we've turned this thing around and we're more like some of the other religions, which are takers rather than givers. I wonder if we become more of taking than we have giving. And the world is saying, now wait a minute, there's something confusing here because that doesn't match up to what the Scripture says. Listen, most of the world, they know just enough of the Bible to be dangerous. But there are some things they know very well. And boy, they like to hop on those things and ride it as far as they can ride it. And boy, when they find an area that they think maybe the church may have become hypocritical in, boy, they'll ride that till they can get, just as far as they can get with it. Now, if you're sitting here tonight, you say, well, Brother Todd, I don't have anything to give. Well, I want to show you something here. Neither did Peter and John. When they went up to the temple, and I want you to notice, if you would, in Acts 3, if you'll turn there for just a moment. Acts chapter 3. As they went to the gate of the temple to worship, matter of fact, this gate, as according to Scripture, is called Beautiful, there was a man there asking alms. And if you'll notice in verse number 6, Peter didn't give him what he asked for. He needed some money. But the Scripture says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Stop. You understand, the Scriptures doesn't say that you have to be filthy rich to give. It doesn't say that you have to have anything in your pocket to give. Because Peter and John had nothing. He said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I to thee. Now wait a minute, he didn't have money, but you know what he had? He had Jesus. Didn't have any money, but you know what he had? He had the power of God. Didn't have any money, but you know what? He experienced Pentecost. And he knew there was a God in heaven that could heal this man. He said, listen, sir, I ain't got any money to pay for a doctor bill. I don't have anything to send you to the best clinics or wherever. He says, I don't have any money to pay for any of that. He says, but such as I have, give I thee. You see, you know what that does? That just opens the door for all of us. That means anybody can give now. Because he didn't even have any money. And guess what he gave? He gave what he had. He gave to them what Christ had given to him. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Stop here just a minute. You think after this old boy was healed, you think he was concerned about money anymore? I don't think so. Because you know what? He got something more valuable than money. He got his health restored. And let me tell you something, there's just some things in this world, folks, that's more important than money is. That's the reason it's very, very important that we understand that, you know what God's looking for? God's looking for people who will give. You say, well, preacher, I can't give earnestly. How many times you ever pray, well, if I can't give it all, I'm just not going to give any. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? Those of us that may say, well, I just can't give earnestly. I just can't put my heart into it. But isn't it amazing, guys, how we'll go to work and we'll put 12 hours in a day? Give everything we got. 6 days, 5 days, 6 days a week. Isn't it amazing, guys, we'll get out here and play basketball or volleyball, and you know what we'll do? We'll dive on a concrete parking lot after a ball. Skin our elbows up, blood coming off our elbows and knees. We'll get out there and play basketball and elbow each other in the face. Boy, we're giving it all for what? So that at the end of it you can say, I won? And you've got a big knot on your side of your head you can hang a hat on? But boy, we gave it our all, didn't we?
You see, we'll give it all to our pastimes.
Now, I'm just going to use me as a personal illustration. I don't know how much money I have invested in hunting gear, but it's a lot. Let me tell you something. When it comes time to go hunting, you know what I do? I give it all when I go. Because you know what I've got to do? I've got to go out into the forest. I've got to go into the stomping grounds of those animals that I'm hunting. I'm on their turf. And they know every bit of it. That's the reason they can pick you out. Because they passed that tree 1,000 times. And all of a sudden they pass that tree one day and they thought, huh, I've never seen that limb there before. It's not a limb. It's me. And isn't it amazing, preacher, how we'll spend hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars to go, and we'll go out there and hunt. We'll walk out of the woods and say, man, that was a blast. You come home, the wife says, well, did you get anything? No. Man, I had a blast, though. Yes, dear. You know what? Give it all, don't we? But the amazing thing is we give it all to the things that we like, and we give it all to the things that are important to us. You say, hey, you didn't say anything about the ladies. Well, hang on, I hadn't read down that far. You know, ladies who love to cook, you know what they'll do? They'll give it all to cooking. Ladies who love to clean, they'll give it all to cleaning. Ladies who love to go shop, let me tell you something, they'll give it all to purchasing things. Now, you see, we give ourselves to the things that are important to us. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you would, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. Here's the basis for giving. If we're going to do as the Bible commands us to and give, and in other words, transfer from one person to another whatsoever we have, that doesn't have to be silver and gold. Peter said, but such as I have. You know, everybody has something to give. Everybody does. Now, folks, there's no way we can exhaust this subject together tonight, but I want you to look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, because I think I can find the basis of giving here. We don't have time to read the whole passage, but if you'll go back and read this, I want you to, you'll notice here, he's talking about, here when you go back in the first verses, here about the churches of Macedonia. Skip down, if you would, to verse number 5. Paul says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, if we're going to be and have glory in giving, the basis of it is we're going to have to give ourselves to the Lord. And then you know what he does? Then he uses us. He uses us to pass on all these things. He will give through you to other people. You see, God already owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He don't need money. And see, God owns everything. And everybody would say amen. Yes, he does own everything. But you know, there's one thing that he leaves up to you and I to give or not to give. Yourself. He's not going to force you to give yourself. He's not going to make you give your heart to him. And yet, isn't it amazing? Solomon told his son, he said, my son, give me thine heart. He said, I'll not take it. He said, I want you to give it to me. It has to be something that we willfully do. We will never be a Bible giver. We will never be the giver that God wants us to be until we first give ourselves to the Lord. You say, well, I just can't do that, Brother Todd. Then you will never. You listen to me. You will never be a biblical giver. Never do it. You say, but I put in my tithes and offerings. That we're not talking about just tithes and offerings. We're talking about giving your heart to Christ. My goodness, dear folks, if we'll trust Him with our soul, can't we trust Him with our life? If we've given Him our soul to be saved, don't you think we can trust Him with our life? Of course we can. Now, let me hit two or three areas here and we'll be done. I want you to take your Bible, if you would, go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, because the first area that I want to cover tonight is giving for personal growth. You say, you mean, Brother Todd, I can give for self-benefit? Well, of course you can. And it's in the Bible. We're going to look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Timothy 4:13. Now again, I'm skipping down for sake of time. Paul gives instruction here and he says, till I come, he says, here's what I want you to do. Give. Give what? In this case, give attendance. Give attendance to what? He gives us three things. Reading, exhortation, doctrine. He says, what I want you to do, he said, I want you to get personally involved in three things. He says, I want you to get personally involved in reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Now, the amazing thing is here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, God just uses the word give attendance to reading. Now, I'm sure that they had some good literature back in that day. I'm sure that they didn't have good reading material. But I think, now I'm just throwing this out there, I might be wrong, but I think he might be talking about reading the Word of God. That just may be what he's talking about here. He says, give attendance to reading. By the way, do you know there's nothing wrong with reading some other good material outside the Bible? Just make sure that it agrees with the Bible. Read good material. Listen, the reason, I'm telling you folks, the reason that most believers today have no idea what's going on in the world is because we don't read. We don't read anymore. You know what we do? We let everybody tell us. So we don't read. So you know what the world does? They just tell us what to believe. And guess what we do? We believe it. Read! He says, give attendance to reading. Now, you know what you're going to have to do? That give, you're going to have to actually put your mind to it. But then he says, not only give attendance to reading, but he says, to exhortation. To exhortation. He says, give yourself to words intended to incite, to provoke to service, and encourage. Do you know, I don't find anywhere in Scripture, nowhere, where Jesus, Paul, or anybody else says, give your attendance to an evil tongue. I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. But he always says, give yourself or give attendance, or that we're to watch what we say, what we do. He says, give yourself to exhortation. And by the way, aren't we supposed to exhort one another even as we see the day approaching? Aren't we supposed to encourage one another that Jesus is coming soon? You know, people in church go through all kinds of problems. People in church have all kinds of problems. And you know what we're supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be encouraging one another. Exhorting one another. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be giving attendance to these things. You say, well, preacher, I just don't know of anybody that's going through a problem. Ask around. It won't take you long. Matter of fact, come ask me. Now, all I'm saying to you is, listen, we need to look for opportunities to give. Give attendance to reading. Give attendance to exhortation. And let me show you one other thing here that's so very important. Give attendance to doctrine. Folks, that's what we believe. You know, I don't know about you, I don't want to be ignorant, do you? I don't want to be ignorant of the Bible. Listen, when I sit down and I talk to somebody, I want to know what I'm talking about. And if I'm going to know what I'm talking about, I got to know what I believe. You know where you're going to find out what to believe? That book right there. Listen, you hang around this place very long, I promise you, you're going to get the Bible preached to you. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to have a choice to when the seed goes out, to what type of soil it's going to fall on. But you know, you can't get everything here. You're going to have to take some of it and do it on your own. So we're going to have to give attendance. This is for personal growth. This will help me grow. So I'm to give attendance to reading, exhortation, and to doctrine. Turn, if you would, just a few pages over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Now, once again, Paul writing, who I believe is the author of the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, therefore, we ought to. There's a lot of things we ought to do, right? The Bible says you ought to. You know why? Because it's important. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, you want to give for personal growth? Give attendance to reading. Give attendance to exhortation. Give attendance to doctrine. And here, give attention to hearing. How many times did Jesus tell His disciples, you have ears, but you hear not. You have ears, but you hear not. Most of you parents with small children, and maybe some of you parents with older children. You speak, but no one hears. How many times have you said, are you listening to me? Yes, mother. Yes, father. What did I just say? I know what you just said. Are you listening to me? It's the last thing they can remember. Now, all I'm saying to you is we're to give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. But we also need to give attention to hearing. We need to listen, folks. I heard a preacher one time. We went down to the Ellis unit. And he made a statement. I got to thinking about that, and I think he's probably right on this. He stood up before those guys in that Ellis unit, and there's about 400 inmates there. And he made this statement. He said, if some of you men in here would have listened, you wouldn't be in here. And I thought, you know what? I think he's right. If we just listen, folks, some of us wouldn't be in the condition that we're in. If we would just listen. Listen to who? How about listen to God, first of all? Listen to the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. Listen to the preaching. Listen to counsel. Talked to my mother this afternoon. Well, let me back up. I talked to my mother this afternoon and talked to her a little bit and just loved on her a little bit by phone, and she's long distance. And you know, one of the things I told her, I said, Mom, I'm 48 years old. My mom's in her mid-70s now. And we talk about this all the time. I said, boy, you know what? I sure could have saved myself a lot of problems if I would have listened. And you know what she said? You're right. She didn't try to defend me. She agreed with me. I talked to my sister yesterday. She took her nursing exam, and I called her yesterday to talk to her and chat with her just a little bit. And we got off on this same subject about listening. And she told me, as her brother, she said, boy, I tell you one thing. She said, now that she's got a daughter that just graduated nursing school, and she's got a teenage son that's fixing to graduate. She's got a younger son. And she said, boy, I tell you one thing. You never realize how much you didn't listen as a kid until you become a parent. Now, there's a lot of truth to that. And you know, some of us wouldn't be where we are today spiritually if we just listen. Give attention to listening. Let me show you one other one here and we'll move on. This is personal growth. Look, if you would, 1 Corinthians 7. And I know the application here, once you turn around, I said, oh, those are marriage verses, Brother Todd. Yeah, they are. But there's still a truth hidden in verse number 5 I want to point out here to you. Now, we're giving, we can actually give for personal growth.
1 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse 5, speaking of husband and wife, but there's an application here, a spiritual application I want to make. He says, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. I'm going to say something to you. If you're going to fast and pray, you're going to have to give yourself to it. Most people are not willing to give themselves to prayer. They're not willing to give themselves to fasting. They're missing out on a whole new frontier of the Christian life. And I'm telling you, if we could get a hold of that thing, not only would it transform your personal life, it'd transform our church. Prayer. Fasting. But you know what you're doing? We're going to have to give ourselves to it. Because that's one of those things that just doesn't come and just shake you out of bed in the morning. It's one of those things you have to go seek. You have to find it. Get a hold of it. But if we're going to have personal growth, we can give attendance, the scripture says, to reading, exhortation, doctrine. Give attention to hearing. And give audience to prayer and fasting. Don't just say, well, I just don't have time. All that fasting stuff, I just can't do that. Well, listen, if you can't fast a meal, fast time. You can fast some way. You can give up something to God. Now, if we won't even give our heart over to the Lord to benefit us, we're surely not going to give it to the Lord to help others. If we won't even do it for personal growth, you think we're going to do it to help somebody else? Now, here's what I want to do is wedge in between the last one, and that's this one. We can give for personal growth, but we can also give for growth Godward. Boy, do you want to be right with God? You see, not only do I want to grow personally, but I want to be right with God. So how can we do that? Well, let me just give you one of them here, and I'll just tell you the other ones quickly here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn there, if you would, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Now you need to underline this in your Bible because I'm going to read it out of the King James Bible. All right? Here's what it says. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. You say, is that why we pray before we eat? Yeah. Yeah. Because the food you're about to eat, you know what the Bible tells you to do? Give thanks. You drive around in the parking lot, and I do this when I go to Walmart, particularly this one right down here. You have to park out in the North 40. I drive around. You know what? I'm looking for somebody. It's about to pull out. It's up a little bit closer. Now, the other day, I went to this Walmart. I saw somebody about to pull out. So I whipped around there, only to turn the corner. You ever seen people? And there was a lady. She was waiting for those people to back out with her blinker on. Blink, 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 blink. Telling me, that's mine. So I just, took off, went. And finally, you get tired, you just say, forget it. I'm just parking in the back and walk. I probably need to walk anyway. Now, the scripture says, in everything, give thanks. So we can give not only for personal growth, we can give to build our relationship Godward. That's what we need. You say, what does God want from us? He wants us to give thanks. He wants us to give praise. He wants us to give glory. He wants us to give Him worship, genuine worship. It's what He wants. Oh, lip service. If I ever give you lip service, you think, they didn't tell me the truth. Or they just said that to get rid of me. Yeah, they probably did. And sometimes I'm not so sure that we don't just give God lip service just to, okay, I'm done. I got my 5 hours or 5 minutes of prayer in. And we read it. Oh, let's see. For in teens, in team planner. Here's some verses. Rejoice in the Lord evermore. Pray without ceasing. Quench not the spirit. Despise that prophesying. Got my five verses in. Sometimes I think we just do it to get by.
We don't do it for any spiritual growth. But we need to give God these things. And by the way, I skipped over one to leave it last. We need to give God His offerings. They're His. And you know what? If I give, I know He's going to bless me because I read it in the Bible. I know He's going to. But if we're going to give, listen, folks, there's some glory in giving. One way we can give is for personal growth. So the second way that we can give is for our Godward growth, our Godward relationship. Let me give you the last one, and that is for outward growth. Outward growth. Take your Bible, if you would. Go to Luke 6 and verse 30, if you would, please. Go to Luke 6, verse 30. Luke 6, verse 30. Now again, I'm cutting down the reading here. I'm just going to kind of jump right into the verse here. Jesus says, "Give to every man that asketh of thee." You got to be kidding. No, I'm not. And neither was Jesus. Give to every man that asketh of thee. That doesn't mean on the end of a baseball bat. That's not what He's talking about. He's talking about a sincere individual that has a need. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And then when you skip all the way down to verse number 48, He says, He is like a man. Or verse 48, let me see where I am. Chapter 6. Let's just stick with that verse. That'll be fine right there. That gets the point across. Folks, we're supposed to be giving to others. We shouldn't have to wait for people to come asking. We ought to go find somebody to give to. So, I heard that somebody needed a washer and dryer. You know what? Boy, we got one in storage, but man, we might need that someday. Yeah, that storage bill might burn down someday too. It might sit there so long that all the parts lock up. So you know what? God may be wanting you to give that to somebody so that He can give you a new one. But you know, my wife and I did that several years ago. We had it was a dryer, and we took that dryer and we thought, you know what, boy, we really need to get a new dryer. And this one's still functionable and stuff. It was just older, and we thought, you know what? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We heard of somebody in the church that needed a dryer, so we thought, well, we'll just give it away. And my wife's thinking, okay, well, we'll give it away. You know, washer, no dryer. But you know, it wasn't but just a few days after that that we decided we were going to give the dryer away that somebody came to me and said, Brother Todd, I know this. I may be just saying this. I don't know if you have neither, but you know, we're fixing to replace our washer and dryer. We thought, would y'all be interested in ours? I said, let me think. I said, well, sure we would. And you know what? The two that they gave me were better than the ones I gave away. Now, I'm just simply telling you, folks, that Jesus taught giving. Why? It's foundation. Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 7. He asked a question to His disciples. I want you to look at it, if you would, quickly with me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 10. Matthew 7, verse 10. I tell you what, look at verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or what man is there of you, or if he ask a fish, will you give him a servant, or a servant, a serpent? You might want a servant. But the question is asked, listen, if he has need of bread, are you going to give him a rock? Of course not. If he asks fish, are you going to give him a snake? Of course not. So if you have a brother and sister in Christ and they have a need, are you going to give him the worst? Or are you going to give him the best? Are you going to give them the best of your ability? You see, Dear folks, to whom much is given, much is required. And that simply tells me that if God gives me much, I'm to give much. Now, there's a lot I want to say. Let me give you a couple things here and I'll be done. Okay? About giving outward for outward growth. Look, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 3. I'll give you a couple and then tell you the rest and we'll be done. Okay? 1 Peter 3:15. How can we give outward to others? Well, according to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So you know one of the things that we can give to each other and we can give to the outside world? We can give them some answers. And you know what one of the greatest answers that they're seeking after? What do we got to do to be saved? I mean, we hear about all this other stuff. What does the Bible say we have to do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You know how you're going to know that? You got to be ready. You got to be ready to give answers. But you know what? The preacher hit it right on the head this morning. You can't give out something you don't have. If you're not in this book, you're not going to have answers. You've got to be in this book if you're going to give answers. Let me give you a couple and you can study these in your own time. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 1, kind of goes right along with what I talked about on Wednesday night about ethics. We're to give that which is just and equal. Do you know in all of our relationships, we're to be just? We're to be just. We're not to take advantage of someone. We're to be just. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9 says that you know something else we can give each other? Instruction. Do you know, I know this may come as a surprise to some, but do you know that most of us, we don't know everything about everything? And you know that when I have car issues, I go ask Brother Elmer or Brother Clovis, you know why? Because I ain't got a clue. And you know what they give me? Instruction. Yes, blow it up. Run it off into Lake Arlington. We can give instruction. John 13:29, Jesus said we're to give to the poor. We're to give to the poor. You say, oh man, I just don't know anybody that's poor. Tell you what you do. You come up and camp out right up here during the week, I'll find you. They find us. They'll come find us. And you know what we're to do? We're to give to them, help them as much as we possibly can. Now, all I'm saying to you, we're to give to the poor. Oh boy, this is a toughie now. Then Jesus says we're to give to our enemy. I tell you what, look, if you would, Romans chapter 12, verse 20. You say, I'll not do it. Yeah, but it's fun to give to the enemy. You know why? Because there's something that goes right along with this. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 20. Because see, the thing about it is, you know what your enemy's expecting you to do? Your enemy's expecting you to spew hate on them. Your enemy's expecting you to revile them. They're expecting you to make fun of them. But Romans chapter 12 and verse 20 says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, what does your Bible tell you to do? Feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, here's the fun part. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That's fun! Because you know what? Then they don't know what to do. Well, thank you. And you know what you do? The whole way, you just had fun. You know what you did? Just a big old shovel full of coals and just threw it up in the air. And yet, isn't that how Jesus diffused so many things? He gave. He gave. He gave. Now, one last thing to think about, and that's this. This thing of giving is so important that there is a promise attached to it if we will practice it. And it's very simple. Because you know it, I know it, you've heard it seemingly probably 1,000 times, and here's what Jesus said. Give, and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. And listen to this now. Shall men give into your bosom? He says, for with the same measure that you meet withal, or you give withal, it shall be measured to you again. There's a promise. You say, but that's talking about money. Oh, is that right? He didn't say it was particularly talking about money. So you know what I can do? I can give time. I can give love. I can give service. I can give a lot of things, because let me tell you something. In your darkest hour, you're going to need somebody to come to you. And you know what? If you've given and you've given and you've comforted and you've helped and you've provided and you've loved, let me tell you what's going to come to you in your dark hour. Those same things. That's the reason, last verse, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Now, folks, for whatever reason, only known to God, that's what He wanted for us. Because this one man said, you know, I became a Christian. I was raised in Hinduism, but I became a Christian because it just seemed to me, after reading the Bible and watching Christianity, it just seemed to me that it was more about giving than receiving. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here tonight.